I'm curious this morning. I'm wondering a little bit about if there's anybody in here who has ever been led astray by somebody that you know, and when you were led astray, you suffered for it. Yeah, I got a couple, yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're hanging out maybe with a group of people and they say, hey, you need to come and do this, and then you go and do that thing, and you suffered because of that thing that you did. Makes sense, right? Okay, anybody been like that? All right, sweet. So I had a moment in my life in which I was led astray by somebody, and I suffered for it, and I suffered greatly for it, and I want to share that moment with you this morning. So my wife is a beautiful woman named Cammie Jo, and Cammie and I used to live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Okay, anybody from Knoxville? All right, praise the Lord. Okay, so Cammie and I used to live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we had a baby, and that baby's name is Asher, and some of y'all know Asher. He's a stud, man. He's like this little, we call him a champion at life. He's absolutely fantastic. Well, Asher was just a few months old at this point, and Cammie always had this routine in the morning, and she would always be like, hey, you know, I'm going to go pick Asher up out of the bed, and I'm going to bring him in here, and then they do their cuddle thing, and they do kind of their morning routine thing, right? So it's a Saturday morning, and he's old enough where he can like hold his head up and do the baby thing. And so it's a Saturday morning. She goes and she grabs Asher, brings him back into the bed. I wake up and she's like, you know, hanging out with Asher. And eventually she looks at me. She goes, hey, babe. I was like, what's up, girl? And I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But she goes, hey, babe, you got to do this. I was like, what do I need to do? She goes, you've got to try this out. See, this is the best time of day with Asher. He's like just woken up, and he is so sweet at this moment. It's the sweetest thing in the world. You should see. He just looks at you, and he looks back at you. And then you can do this thing where you can lift him up, and he'll be like, And you do that thing with him. She goes, Ryan, I want you to do this. I want you to experience this great moment with Asher. I'm like, okay. And so I get led astray by my bride to experience this great moment with Asher, which turns out to be one of the worst memories of my life, okay? So here's what happens. I take Asher, and first I put him on my stomach, and he's kind of sitting up. I'm like, what's up, dude? I mean, what do you say to a three-month-old, right? What's up? All right, how's the weather? And so he's just like looking at you, kind of like, And all of a sudden I get kind of sucked into awesomeness of Asher, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. It's like, oh my God, this is actually really cool. And so she goes, no, but you're doing it wrong. You got to do it right. You got to lift him up. And so I was like, okay, I'll lift him up. And so I lift him up, and I'm like, hey, dude. And he does. He starts looking at you, and his eyes become these big, bright blue eyes, and he's like, and so I'm looking at him, and all of a sudden your dad moment comes over me, and I start going, I'm like, and he looks back at me, he goes, and so the second time I'm like, and he looks back at me, he's like, and so the third time I'm like, and so normally he was like, but this third time, instead of going, he goes, "Huah!" I am not lying. Projectile vomit goes into my mouth. Oh, and at that moment, I panic. I'm like, I want to throw him, but I can't because he's a baby. And so I panic, and I'm frozen, and his vomit goes into my mouth, and I'm literally like, and I choke on it, and it gurgles, and it spews back out of my mouth. I can still taste it to this day. Yeah. And so I'm like, you're throwing him. And then I go to hand him to Cammie, and I look at Cammie, and she is crying because she is laughing so hard because my kid projectile vomited into my mouth. I mean, and so I hand her the baby, and I just left. I was like, yeah, I'm about to puke, okay? I mean, it was awful. It was one of those, it should have been a great moment, right? I listened to my bride, who I trust, and to this day I still trust her, kind of. And so to this day, you know. And so I trust her because she's trustworthy, right? She's never led me astray, and so I listened to her, and she sounded really convincing. Like, this is the best moment you're ever gonna have with him. And she sounded so good at what she was talking about. And I was like, man, obviously she knows, right? She sounds really convincing with what she's saying, and I know her, I trust her, right? And unfortunately, you know, she wasn't being intentional. She didn't know that was going to happen. I don't think she knew. And so she led me astray in a sense, and I ended up suffering for it, right? I would call that suffering for sure. And I'm just curious this morning, like, I wonder how many of us are in that boat, right? How many of us, we pay attention to the people in our lives that, man, maybe because you trust them, and they sound really, really good at what they're talking about, but in the end of the day, what ends up happening is you are listening to these people, and they say, you need to go do this, this, and this, and because you went and did this, this, and this, you ended up becoming suffering for it. And so this morning, what we're going to read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you can turn there, it's verses 1 through 9, we're continuing in our letter from Paul to Timothy. And what we're going to learn in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is Paul's going to give Timothy a list. He's going to give him a list of what is happening in and around his life. And in chapter 2, what he does is he sets Timothy up. At a point in chapter 2, he tells Timothy, he goes, listen, dude, here's what's going to happen. You are going to be surrounded by what Paul calls false teachers. Okay, you're going to be surrounded by these guys called false teachers, and they're going to sound really, really, really good at what they're communicating. They're going to tell you that it's kind of the Jesus thing, but it's also this as well. And they're going to try and shepherd you away from the teachings of what you found Jesus to teach and what you find in the Bible. And they're going to kind of shepherd you away from that. And if you are not careful, you will become contaminated, and you will have a life that begins to suffer for it, and you will be hurt because of it. And you need to be aware of these things. And so what he does in chapter 3 in verses 1 through 9, and this is what we're going to read this morning, is he actually gives a list of what it looks like for these false teachers to come in, and not only what they are as people, but what they teach about. And the things that maybe Paul kind of goes, Timothy, look, if you pay attention to these things, you're going to have a better understanding as how to avoid being led astray by false teachers. And so we're going to read that this morning, and as we read through this, what you're going to find is you're going to start reading through it, and you're going to go, you know what, that sounds like a list full of people on the outside of the walls of the church. That's what's going to happen when you read this list. You're going to be like, yeah, I definitely know that guy, or definitely know that girl, and I definitely know that situation, and that always happens on the outside of the church. But what we'll find is in chapter 3, Paul is not writing to Timothy talking about people that you're going to experience when you go to school. Paul's not writing about the people that you're going to experience when you go to the workplace or Walmart. Paul's writing about the experience of the people that you can have right here within the walls of the church. And he says, listen, if you're not careful, if you don't avoid this, man, you are going to become contaminated, and you're going to be led astray from what the gospel really tells you you should have a life like. So we're going to read that this morning. I'm going to pray first, and we're going to jump in. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you have a word that just makes sense to us. It's a word that we can go through and live life by. And God, I also thank you for the fact that you saw ahead into our lives. You knew that there were going to be people that come into our lives that try and tell us something different than what your word says. And so, God, I pray this morning that you will bring a recognition not only to our understanding of what your word says, but you will bring a recognition to really be able to see kind of a counterfeit false teaching of your word, and we will pay attention to the people we are surrounded by with false teaching, and you will help us understand how to avoid those situations and how to continue to pursue what it is that you have written in your word for us. God, I pray you'll get glory for this morning, and thank you again for your son who you sent to be a savior. It's our holy and precious name I pray. Amen. So how many of y'all, I'm assuming everybody in here, how many of you have ever been to or are currently attending a science class? Okay. All right. Science. Okay. We all go to school, right? And we learn all sorts of different subjects, math, English, history, all that kind of stuff, PE. And one of the things that we learn is science, okay? And what we learn in science class is a variety of things, but here's what I first want you to do. I want you to think about how you feel about your science class. How do you feel about your science class? Some of you may be like, man, it's awesome. We like cut frogs in half and look at intestines. Yeah. Some of y'all may be like, it's so gross. We look at dead birds all day long. Oh, my gosh, right? And then some of you may just simply be like, whatever, dude, D for diploma, okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about how you feel about your science class, and then I want you to look at the person on your left and your right, and I want you to tell that person how you feel about your science class. Go. All right, I heard a lot of, I love it, it's awesome, and I heard like, ugh, right? So we're good. So one of the things we learn in science class, is about the human body, okay? We learn about the human body. Y'all look up here. Y'all ready? So one of the things we learn about in science class is about the human body. Right, we learn about all the incredible things that the human body is capable of doing. We learn how God made the human body and how the human body can do all these healing things like self-healing. And I mean, it's just absolutely incredible what the human body has been designed to do. But what we also learn in science class is about what the human body is capable of being contaminated by. See, our human bodies are vulnerable to disease, right? We learn in science that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of diseases all over the planet. And your human body, if not protected correctly, will be vulnerable to contamination. You can easily become sick. How many of you have been sick in the world, right? Okay, right? You can easily become sick because your human body is vulnerable to disease. And one of those main diseases that we are vulnerable to is something called bacteria. Now, science will tell you that there are some bacteria that are good for you. Yogurt, woohoo, right? Some bacteria is good for you. But some bacteria is actually deadly. There are some bacteria in this world that if you get them into your body, they will destroy you. They have the potential to harm you to a point where it could cause death. Bacteria has some of the deadliest diseases in the world are bacterial diseases. I mean, we almost got ruined for the rest of our lives with Bluebell by the bacteria Listeria. Horrible, right? But bacteria, when it's an infectious, contagious, not good for you bacteria, it can enter into your human body and it can literally shut down your body to a point where you're completely ill. Like you can't, and almost to a point of death. In some cases, death will occur with certain types of bacteria. And what we're going to see is Paul's writing to Timothy saying, hey, listen, dude, here's what I need you to understand is that there are certain things. Your human body can be physically harmed by bacteria. But in a spiritual sense, your body can be harmed by spiritual bacteria. There are certain things that can enter into your body as well as the body of Christ, the church, the people that make up this room. There are certain experiences that are certain bacteria spiritually that can come into your life and contaminate you and harm you and lead you astray and bring you to a place that's very difficult in your life. So what we're going to do is we're going to read through chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and here's what I want you to do. I'm going to read through most of the verses, then we're going to kick back, and we're going to go through a list of what looks like to be spiritual bacteria in your life. There are certain things that false teachers will bring into the room of the church that will divide, it will contaminate, and it will try and conquer what we have going on. And Paul wants us to be very, very clear on what some of those bacteria look like. Because if we can see what they look like and be aware of them, we will be able to avoid them in the future. Make sense? All right, so we're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and we'll get rolling. All right, chapter 3, verse 1, but understand this. Now, this is important. If you're ever studying the Bible, this is a cool thing, right? What's the first word in the statement? But. Whenever you read the Bible, this is cool. It's free fact for you. If you see the word but, it means that there was something before it that you need to pay attention to, okay? So I say something but, right? That means what I said before needs to be paid attention to, and what Paul's referencing is chapter 2, in which he's saying, remember when I told you about those false teachers? Now I'm going to tell you what those actually look like, okay? So he says, but understand this. And that word in the Greek is incredibly emphatic. Like it is like, understand this, mark this down, pay attention to this. Do not leave this room without understanding what I'm about to say. understand this, that in the last days, now the last days, are, what he's talking about is when Christ dies on the cross, he raises again 3 days later, and then he ascends into heaven, okay? That's the start of the last days. The end of the last days is when Christ comes back and returns to the earth and takes care of business. You know what I'm saying? So right now, we're in the last days. Now, a lot of people will recognize this, and they'll be like, oh, you know, the world's going on fire. We're all going to die. No, what it's saying is from the time Christ ascended to heaven, from the time he comes back to earth, that is the last days. So we are currently living in the last days. And this is what he goes on to say. He says, now, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. If you would agree with that, say amen. Right? I mean, we deal with difficulty, don't we? Right? And what you're going to read in this list here in just a second, you're going to start going, yep, yep, yep. I know what that's like. So in the last days, there will be times of difficulty. Here comes the list. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I know none of that is you. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, verse 6. For among them are those who creep into various houses and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Pause right there. We're going to kick back into the second verse, and we're going to read this list. And I just want us to do this. As I go through this list, I want you to think of two things. Am I one of the people on that list? Like, do I connect to that because I'm the one doing these things? Or am I aware of people that I know are doing these things? Because I want you to understand this. False teachers is not just simply somebody who comes in and tells you, you know, Satan is awesome, God is terrible. It's pretty obvious, right? False teachers are ones that some false teachers don't even realize that they're promoting false teaching by their actions in their life. False teaching can come with anything that tells you that you should live in a way opposite of what the gospel and God's word says you should live. Okay? So I just want you to, we're going to go through this, right? Verse 1, we're not going to cover all of them. We'll cover a lot of them. First one I want to cover is lovers of self. Okay? Lovers of self. Here's the deal. We're human, and we are selfish. I mean, let's be real. Every person in this room is selfish. And here's what's interesting. I think that this is probably the root cause of the rest of the stuff on this list. Because at the end of the day, what being a lover of self means is that you are more important than the God who created you. I mean, that's really what you think. You think that your needs are more important than what it is that the God of the universe created you for. And I think when we recognize that people are lovers of selves, what they end up doing, they say, man, I want to get what I want, what I deserve, what I need. I want to have everything that I should get and desire should be taken care of. We become lovers of self. We become somebody who says, you know what, the God of the universe is not really all that I need. I just need my needs met, and then I can do the God thing. And you will have people that will come into the church and they will tell you, no, 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 listen, you just take care of yourself first, right? God takes care of the people that take care of themselves. That's in the Bible, right? No, right? But they'll tell you that. Like, no, 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 you just make sure you take care of yourself and then you'll be okay. So I think a lot of us, man, we get led astray by the false teaching of be a lover of yourself, make sure you're taken care of. And the Bible doesn't teach that. You know what the Bible teaches? And this is what really turns people away. Let's just call it what it is. The Bible teaches the complete opposite of that. You know what the Bible says? For there is no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for another. That is the most selfless act anybody could ever do. For somebody to lay down their life for another. Now, think about culture for a minute. Is that the complete and total opposite of thing of what you are learning in culture? And here's the deal. That's offensive to people. Because that means that, here's what Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. I'm going to say that again. Pick up your cross and follow me. But that is a complete opposite of being a lover of yourself. And what we're learning and what people will come into these walls and tell you is, no, you got to take care of yourself and then God will take care of you. No. False teaching tells you to take care of yourself. The Bible says empty yourself. That's a hard thing to do. Here's another one, lovers of money, right? I think this is a symptom of self-love. I think we become obsessed with wanting to love money, and you'll have people go, no, listen, God wants you to be materialistically happy. Like, that's what people will promote. If you pray enough, God will bless you. Right? If you go around certain circles, you start paying attention to certain, look, you can Google pastors that'll teach this stuff. They will have thousands of people. I went to a mission trip in Guatemala, no joke. This dude had a compound was his church. I mean, it was unreal. One of the largest facilities I've ever seen. He had a helipad that he would literally fly in a helicopter to go to church. Right? This is the pastor of the church. Okay? And he would say, he would get thousands, 40, 50,000 people would attend his church on a Sunday morning, and he would take from their pocket saying, listen, if you hook us up, we will hook you up, and God will hook you up in your life. That's false teaching. The Bible never says that God will monetarily take care of you in the sense of making you rich. Now, that is not to say that you should not pursue a great job. God absolutely says, listen, you need to work hard and earn money. Absolutely. Now, God is the great provider of the money that he gives you. And I know some guys that are stupid rich. I mean, just filthy, filthy rich, right? I mean, just crazy amounts of money. So much money. I had a guy look at me one time. He goes, Ryan, I have so much money, I don't even know what to do with it. And you know what he said next? I just got to find enough people to give it away to. So God is not against you earning money, but it is the love of money that replaces the love of God that becomes the false teaching. Here's another one. People will be proud and arrogant. During the time of like Paul and Timothy, people would walk around and they would claim that they had these special magical powers, right? They could heal bodies and they could do all these crazy cool things. And verse, I think it's verse 8 and verse 9, you see Paul write about a guy named Jannes and Jambres, and they go and they respond back to the Old Testament, and Moses was trying to get his point across about what God wanted to do for the people, and he can make snakes turn in, make snakes out of his staff, right? And these guys try to match his spiritual power, and they end up not being able to do it. Well, during this time, people would do that. Nowadays, I think what it looks like is you got people that will just, they will be proud and arrogant. Man, I have got the greatest relationship with Jesus ever. I'm awesome. And they'll tell you how good their time with the Lord is, and they'll tell you how amazing they know about all these Bible verses, and they could probably quote more Bible verses than I could, and what ends up happening is if you really knew them inside, they don't know Jesus at all. People will come in and they will be proud and boastful and arrogant about how awesome their Christian walk is. And again, you look at Scripture and it's like, dude, that's not what God asks us to be. He asks us to be what? Humble, right? So I think some of the times we'll deal with some people that, man, and they'll make you feel bad about it almost. Like, if you don't know 58,000 Bible verses, you're a terrible person. Right? It's like, no, dude, that's a false teaching. That's not how it works. Now, God wants you to memorize Scripture because he knows Scripture has the power to change your life. Not so you can be boastful about it, right? So here's another one. You guys aren't going to like this one. Disobedient to your parents. How many of you are already like, ugh, right? But it's true. Some false teachers will come in and they'll say, hey, look, dude, you don't have to listen to your mom and dad, whatever. Like, you go tell them, dude, you won't believe what my mom and dad told me I had to do today. Like, I have to do these amount of chores, and they only, man, my curfew's 10 o'clock. Are you serious? And then you'll have somebody who's a believer, right, and inside the church body, like, dude, don't even listen to them. They're ridiculous. That's false teaching. Because the Bible asks us to honor our mother and father. Don't be disobedient. And here's what I find interesting. It's the same people that are disobedient to mom and dad. And it's incredible because you go, if you can't be obedient to your mom and dad on earth, how on earth are you going to be obedient to your heavenly father? Right? And I think a lot of us are surrounded by people. Hey, you don't have to listen to mom and dad. Whatever. Forget them. False teaching. Right? Here's another one. Ungratefulness. These people, they try and teach others that you deserve more, right? What you have isn't good enough. No, you should have the latest and greatest. God should have hooked you up more with this or that. And so go pursue these things instead of pursuing the things of the God. Sometimes we're just straight up ungrateful. How many of y'all been on a mission trip? Okay, right? How many of you have seen things and realized all of a sudden how much you really have? Right? Go on an international mission trip. Go on a local mission trip. Go down the street, right? And you'll have people that'll tell you, man, no, you deserve this. You deserve this. Absolutely, you should go and do this or this or that. And if you listen to that, suddenly you'll start thinking, you know, I do deserve that. Are you serious? How come Johnny and Susie get all that stuff? I deserve that too. That's a false teaching, okay? Here's one, unholy. Unholy. These are the ones that will have no fear about God whatsoever. Here's what that looks like. They will go and have a Jesus face on Sunday morning and be 100% different the rest of the week. And those people live among the church. I guarantee you right now, you're in your brain already thinking about that person. You know who they are, right? You see them at church on Sunday morning. Jesus, I love you so much in my mirror. Woo! The rest of the week, right? Here's what they don't realize. They may not be teaching verbally with false words, but it's like my mom always used to say, actions speak louder than what? Words. And what they don't realize is they are becoming false teachers because they are promoting something other than what the gospel says. They are promoting a lifestyle other than what the Bible says. And they are leading so many people in the body of Christ away from the Bible and towards the lover of self. They don't have to say what they're doing is right or wrong. Their actions are saying it for them, and they don't even realize that people are watching. And they go, you know what? I mean, if he can do that, why can't I? I mean, I know what the Bible says about living a lifestyle of, like, godliness, but, I mean, like, you see what he does, and he looks fine worshiping on Sunday morning, right? Unholiness. Unappeasable. These are people that will... they will, on Sunday morning amongst us, right, they will worship God and worship the God who gave them ultimate forgiveness by sending his son Jesus to die for them, and yet they won't forgive anybody else who did a wrongdoing in their life. How many conversations like that have you had with people? Right? And again, it's one of those things. It's not necessarily that they are telling you, no, God says you shouldn't forgive. They may not necessarily be saying that type of false teaching, but their actions and their lifestyle are indicating you don't have to forgive people. No, if you were wronged, yeah, you don't have to forgive them. I mean, I realize that all of my sins lead to my ultimate death because I sinned against a holy God, and he sent his son Jesus to die for me, and I'll take all of that forgiveness, but I'm not going to forgive them for lying at me. Right? And we start to learn about people who go in and they try and preach forgiveness about a Jesus, yet they won't forgive somebody for something simple. That's a false teacher. There are people that will be haters of good. There are many people that will try and convince you that you should not tell anybody that they're wrong. You been there yet? No, you can't tell somebody's lifestyle is wrong. You can't say that. Do you know why? Because if it makes them feel good, then it's okay. And here's the deal. That sounds like an argument you're going to have at work, right? Hey, don't tell me about Jesus because I know that, you know, everybody, don't tell me something's wrong. No, there are no black and white. You know, it's whatever makes somebody feel good as long as it doesn't what? Hurt me, right? And what you end up having happening is you've got people that it's not just outside the walls of the church, it's inside the walls of the church. There are people that leave the church and bring people with them because they don't like what the Bible has to say about a particular thing. Now, I'm not saying that the Bible is easy to digest in certain areas. There are moments where it's very black and white and it draws a very clear line, and sometimes that line is offensive to us. Why? Because we're what? What's the first thing on the list? Lovers of what? And when yourself gets told no, yourself acts like a 5-year-old and throws a temper tantrum. Am I right? And so you'll have people within the walls of the church be like, hey, you know, I know we're reading about this in the Bible study, but in reality, nah, man, it's not. Like, you don't really have to tell somebody that. They're unholy. They have no fear of God. And they're haters of goodness. There are people that are reckless and lovers of pleasure, right? There are people that will come in and they'll go, hey, look, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. It's all good, man. We're going to party, right? And what they'll do is they'll bring you along with them. This is the false teaching where the guy looks at the girl and is like, no, girl, man, it's only second base. It's all good. Is it? I know what a lot of people are thinking. It's like, okay, it's more rules. No, listen. Guys, the reason Paul writes all these things and the reason all this stuff is in the book is because God understands that if you follow false teachings, life will be contaminated. It will be harmful. It will be hurtful. Here's what I want us to do. Because I was thinking, like, most of us, we can read through this list and go, okay, yeah, more rules, right? But God absolutely wants you to have a positive life. And I think most of us can think about these things in our life and go, yeah, okay, I could see where that could be hurtful, okay? But I wanted to give you a visual about what bacteria does when it contaminates somebody or something, right? Because I want you to understand that this stuff, again, it's like spiritual bacteria, right? If you allow it to enter, it will contaminate you and destroy your life, okay? I want you to give you a visual for this because I want you to understand exactly what it looks like to have a life removed from God, taken away, and destroyed because you allowed bacteria to enter in, okay? So I want you to watch the screen. Now, what you're going to see is a watermelon, so there's no, like, some crazy spiritual thing. But just understand, this is bacteria that attacks a watermelon. I want you to understand what happens when bacteria attacks something. Go. Watch the video. How many of you want to puke right now after seeing that, right? Now, if I were to take that watermelon at the end and offer you to eat it, what would every person in this room say? Heck no, techno. You crazy. Every one of us except the watermelon. No, we do. When you roll through the list, you can go, yep, I'm eating that watermelon. Here's the deal. God wants you to live a life that is full and it is abundant and is healthy. But God also understands that there are things that will come into the church, there are false teachings that will come into the church, and they will be like a bacteria that will infect your life and destroy it. Nobody in their right mind would take that bacteria from that watermelon and eat it. And yet, spiritually, it's what we do when we allow false teachers to lead us astray from what God's word says. So, here's the good news. There's a cure for bacteria. Do you know what it's called? Antibiotics, right? And so we've got some antibiotics, which are good. God's word is an antibiotic. God's grace is an antibiotic. God's grace heals all things, right? So here's what I want us to do, and we're going to close with this. What do you do? How do you avoid being contaminated by bacteria, the false teaching of what people will bring into the walls of the church that will lead you astray from what God's word actually says? You ready? I'm going to give you three things. First one is this. Be cautious and take protective action. If somebody is coughing in your face, what are you going to do? Like, walk away, dude, come on. Use the elbow, right? That's what I tell my son all the time. Use your elbow. And he's like, like, dude, you're killing me, right? Take caution and avoid it. Here's what happens, right? You walk up in church, because I know this has never happened in church before, but in in theory, if it did, right? Walk up in church, you got a group, guys or girls, it doesn't matter, and you hear them talk a mess about somebody. Girl walks in, it's like, you start hearing the gossip, walk away. Don't even be a part of that conversation. Don't sit there and listen to the conversation because they're your friends and you're going to hang out with their friends. And even though you know they're spewing bacteria everywhere, I'm not going to let it affect me. Well, wrong, it will affect you. Just like somebody who coughs germs into your life, that's the same thing. If you allow yourself to be around bacteria that's infectious, guess what it's going to do? It's going to infect you. Right? Here's an example. Parties, right? Somebody goes, oh, we're going to go to the party on Saturday night. And I'm not kidding. I hear this a lot, right, as a pastor. And I know the heart is good behind it. There are people who will say, no, look, I'm going to go to the party just because I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to be a godly example. They're drunk. They're not listening to what you're saying. Right? It's okay to want to be a godly example to somebody who needs Jesus, but how many people will go to a party and actually not be affected by it? And I mean, in reality. And on top of that, you're trying to share Jesus to people who are not listening at that moment. Don't go to the party because you want to share Jesus. At the party is not the place you need to share Jesus. Now, if you know somebody who struggles with that stuff, pull them off to the side when it's a good time. I'm not saying don't love people and don't be around people. I'm not saying that, and the Bible's not saying that. The Bible is very clear. We should preach Jesus to everybody we can. But there is a time and a place for doing that. And you got to recognize that, look, you are absolutely vulnerable to the bacteria of false teaching. So don't put yourself in a position to be vulnerable. Make sense? Okay? So avoid it. If you see it, avoid it. How do you see it? Read the list. When you start to see those things occur, walk away. It really is that simple. You do that when somebody's sick. Why would you not do that when you have the possibility of being around something that's going to make you sick? And again, I want you to understand, I'm not saying don't love people. Absolutely love people. Share Jesus with them. Don't be a judgmental person and like, you're a terrible person. I'm not going to talk to you, right? Share Jesus with them, but at the right time. Okay? Here's another one. Take a look at where your life is vulnerable to attack. There are some things, man, some of y'all, you will never struggle with going to a party. Just not even a problem. Whatever. Who cares? Right? Have no interest in it at all. But, man, you got a problem when it comes to people who whirl in and start to gossip. Like that, you just get sucked into it, right? There are certain things that just like, you're like, it's like a tractor beam. It'll suck you right in, right? So pay attention to the things in your life that you're vulnerable to because that's where you're going to get attacked, right? So you read the list and go, you know what? Disobedient to mom and dad. Yeah, I struggle with that one. No question. Absolutely. All right, slanders. I gossip. I'm without self-control. Yeah, I could probably use some help in that one, right? Pay attention to where you're vulnerable, and then go back to the first step. Avoid it. Walk away. Right? And here's the third thing, and this is the best part. Recognize that bacteria will be destroyed. Verse 9, check out what he says. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Remember, I told you that Jannes and Jambres went and tried to oppose Moses and say, no, your God's not real. And what ends up finding out is Jannes and Jambres didn't know what they were talking about, right? Their bacteria ends up getting destroyed, and so will all the rest of this stuff. Look, here's the great news. Jesus has the power to overcome everything. So some of us, we just need to be aware of some of the potential pitfalls in our life. And then others of us, we are, you know, promoting some of the false teaching. Maybe we don't even realize it. But the grace of God is sufficient for all. And recognize the fact that look, it says it's the scary stuff. In the end times, people are going to go bananas. But God still wins. So it's worth fighting for. So do everything you can to fight the infection. And you do that through the Word of God. Allow this to enter in your life, cleanse it, and then allow the power of God to flow through your life to cleanse other people. Make sense? So here's what I'd tell you this morning to finish up. Be an antibiotic. right? Be an antibiotic. Avoid the things that are dangerous. Help cure the things that need curing, and you do that through the power of the Word of God.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.